T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, the highly anticipated John Heyman Report. And it, of course, is brought to you by Sport Clips. You watch sports, we cut hair. It's perfect. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy, by Merrick Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, and by Brother Supply, your number one source for ice air, P-Tax, water source heat pumps, and fan coils. Mr. Heyman, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm good. Now, I'm intrigued. All right, I'm intrigued. I saw your boy, I know you like Ken Rosenthal, wrote about Donaldson and how the Blue Jays are looking to get rid of him. He does have a big upside. This is a guy that won the MVP 3 years ago, even though he can't stay healthy and he looks like a broken down old player. Could you see the Yankees in a creative, he could DH, he could play a little first, a little third, and the hard DHs? Can you see the Yankees showing any level of interest in Donaldson in the next 36 hours?
Well, you know, I don't like to rule anything out. There definitely is an issue at first base right now. Voit has done pretty well, I should say. Obviously, Bird has struggled for the most part over the last few weeks. So, you know, I don't want to rule anything out. I do think he will be traded to some contender by tomorrow. I don't think he'll be claimed. He's got $4 million to go. At this point, nobody wants to pay $4 million for an if, and it's pretty iffy at this point, you know. So, I think they'll probably trade him, but they're going to get very, very, very little for him. He's basically been out since May with a calf. Before that, he had a shoulder. He didn't perform like he normally does, so the value is extremely, extremely limited. St. Louis has always been the team that's shown the most interest, and right now they've got Wong on the DL. They've got Jerko with a slight injury. So I would say, if anybody, I'm going to bet on St. Louis more than anybody else.
Do you sense that the Yankees, and they could be getting Sanchez back any day, they could be getting Didi back, the Judge thing is a cloud that may hang over for a while, but do you get a sense that they feel like they need to do something soon, or in the next day and a half?
I haven't gotten that sense. I felt when Judge went down, particularly since it really wasn't 3 weeks, it was 7 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it's going to be, that they could use a right-handed bat. You know, they obviously didn't have Frazier. Sanchez was out. They didn't do that. They've gone with Robinson for the most part. You know, they're very limited under that threshold at this point, and they probably don't want to spend on offense or position players because they feel if they could get a pitcher, they'd rather do that. They are close to the threshold. That probably impacts them. Of course, the salaries now are limited. Donaldson's down to $4 million, and you've got other guys who are down to a mere fraction, obviously, one-fifth of what their total salaries are. You know, I thought maybe somebody right field, maybe Adam Jones. I'm hearing he's not going anywhere. McCutcheon, doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in that one. So I'm not sure that they're going to do anything in terms of offense.
Are they down, not just this year, because I think this year you go with the hot hand. Luke Voit's hot, you play him. If Neil Walker, once the Yankees get healthy, is hot, you play him at first base. So they don't have to be married to Greg Bird in the final month of the year, but what's their view on him long term now?
I think they're probably concerned. They were some big supporters in that organization and have been. They love his swing. Scouts will tell you he's potentially a terrific, terrific hitter. There's issues at this point, right? I mean, he's been injury prone. He came back this year and has not performed like you'd expect. He's had a couple of big home runs, but at this point, I think you have to look at it as few and far between. So I think there is definite concern there. And, you know, as we know, the Yankees are the target of Machado. Machado would love to be a Yankee. Now, does that mean they're going to move Andujar from third to first? I'm not sure, but Machado would definitely be happy to be a Yankee, and he would definitely be willing to play third base from everything we've heard to be a Yankee. Haven't heard that the Yankees are thinking about moving Andujar to first, but
Andujar is awesome. And by the way,
terrific.
Do you know what award you're voting for this year? What baseball?
I'm voting for the NL MVP.
So NL MVP.
I am uncommitted at this point. I'm independent. I'm not affiliated with any particular player, but that is my vote.
Can I have your?
I can express opinions on other other awards, though, if you'd like to hear
them.
Can
I have your vote? Would you give it to me? Is that allowed?
I would be happy to vote for you for NL MVP.
No, not vote. Not vote for me. Can I?
Oh, sorry.
The honor of deciding
it's not allowed
for you.
I didn't Lebatard try that one time and gave it to Deadspin, and I think he's been banned from voting since
then. You're right. Wasn't that?
He didn't care about the vote, though. I mean, he's really not involved in baseball. He covered the Marlins in.
Was that Hall of Fame or was that something else? No, he's not a.
I don't remember. It might have been for. It might have been Hall of Fame.
I thought it was Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
I will admit
to you.
Probably
banned all around. You know, baseball writers take this very seriously.
I will admit this to you, and I don't know if this is wrong, but.
You took someone's vote?
No. Well, my sister lives in Florida. You may have heard Swing State, okay?
Yes.
She calls me before every presidential election, and she doesn't say, you're getting my vote, like I'm going to tell her who to vote for, but she listens to me. So I basically tell her, here's who you're voting for, and she'll listen. She'll listen to me over her husband.
Yeah.
She'll listen to me over my parents because she trusts me. She knows this is the way to go. So I feel very powerful that I have a vote in Florida during the presidential election.
Well, terrific. Good for you. I think that's allowed. She's allowed to decide.
Vote,
and her decision is to trust you.
Yeah.
I'm in Florida. And I'm not going to do that. I just to let you know, I'm going to do my own vote.
I think my sister actually didn't listen to me for the first time in 2016 because I did. I voted for somebody who was of the third party variety or an independent. And she didn't feel comfortable doing that, even though I said, come on, you don't like these candidates. Come on. She wouldn't go for it. So,
well, I mean, you know, in Florida, the vote counts. So it's a serious vote.
I know. Well, so, it is a serious vote to
New
vote
York,
third party.
You can vote for whoever you want, but in Florida, you should probably pick one of the two.
You know
major...
what? No, you're wrong. But I'm not going to get into this today. We'll save that for 2020. Okay. If we're still talking, we'll have this debate in November
of
2020.
So. Yeah, I've yelled at my friend who voted for Ralph Nader every time.
Well, Ralph Nader was a terrible candidate. You should yell
at
him for that.
I am not judging that. I just think it's a wasted vote. Vote for the person that you like better of the two candidates who have a chance to win.
No, I disagree with you. But I'm telling you, I'm going to write in my calendar, November of 2020, we're going to have this debate.
All right.
Let me get to the Red Sox. They're going to win this division. I just think the math is going to be too much for the Yankees. But
boy,
they got some issues. David Price hurt yesterday. He had been pitching well. And I'm skeptical about Sale. I know yesterday he was asked how his shoulder felt, and his response, according to Pete Abraham, was like Paul Bunyan's ox. So I thought that was a nice answer. But until he's pitching, John, I got to be worried about Chris Sale, no?
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I mean, look how he's performed. And he says Paul Bunyan's ox. I think that's probably means strong. I'm going to interpret that way. So I'm not worried about Chris Sale. Obviously, they've got issues. I've thought they've had an issue in the eighth inning. Kimbrel is now a minor issue in the ninth inning. All these closers all the big-time closers are all struggling. Jansen, or on the DL, Chapman, Cody Allen, Kimbrel, they're all struggling. Everybody's got issues, but yes, I think the Red Sox have issues. They have they have played the best by far of any team, though. So they are the favorite this year. The record doesn't normally, it doesn't make me say that they're favorite, but their record is so much better than anybody else's that I think they're their favorite. I think that's fair to say. I have full faith in Sale. I think their offense is fantastic. They have the 1 and 2 finishers in MVP. I'm very confident in saying that. I'm not, you know, at this point, I'm not sure which one I would pick, but Betts and Martinez should be 1 and 2, and that's a pretty powerful combination there.
Yesterday, my reaction to the Mets with Peter Alonso was, I'm ticked at the Mets. I'm always ticked at the Mets. That Peter Alonso should be up here. He should be playing. He's earned that. But I also didn't love Peter Alonso's agents coming out, you know, basically saying the same thing. And as I said to Alonso's agents, if they listen, don't worry, we got this, okay? I'll take care of it. I'm going to yell. Trust me, I will be. I'm saying what you're saying, except I'm saying it as a fan, as a radio host, as the agent. I don't know. I didn't love it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't think it hurts. I saw them criticized on Twitter for doing that, but they were just, as Alonso said, they were just sticking up for him, which is their job. I see nothing wrong with it. It's got limited value, as you said, because we know it's the agent, so what are they going to say? You know, he may have some interesting points that someone else may not have thought of. I thought, and I put on Twitter, that I thought Alonzo should be called up. Since then, I've had other people tell me I'm wrong, that he shouldn't be called up. It's probably not as cut and dried as some of these other cases are. Vlad Guerrero Jr., somebody who's hitting 400 at AAA, you know, that's, to me, a major beef. Chris Bryant a few years ago, that was a major beef.
Major, very different.
You know,
too,
it's a little different. Alonzo's in Las Vegas where everybody hits. He's been very, very good. I do think he deserves a call-up, but, you know, it's not as slam dunk like some of these other guys who are hitting 400 at AAA.
But that's
and wasting their time, really, frankly.
That's a part of why, even if they're right, it's just it's not worth doing it yet. If they were holding him back the way the Cubs obviously were holding Bryant back, it's worth it. I just don't think it's worth it right now.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he didn't have a slow day. He had an hour to kill.
Really, release a statement. Do you believe it? Here's a problem the Mets have. I always say this. We don't believe them, okay? They don't have any credibility. So when they say, hey, it's about all the other bad first basemen that they have that they want to play.
Yeah, I don't believe any. When it comes to these call-up times, I feel like 80 to 90% of them are about the service time, and nobody's going to say that out loud.
Right.
You know, it seems, you know, we'll see. The grievances haven't been held. We've got two players, Bryant, we mentioned, and Mike Elfranco, who've got grievances. They've been pending now for more than a year. So we will see how it goes. It's going to be they're tough cases to prove, though. You have to say that the team is operating in bad faith. There's nothing really in the CBA that suggests the team has to put their best team on the field at every moment. And, you know, there's different reasons. And, you know, it's but I do think in 80 to 90% of the cases, I do think this is about service time and teams are just hiding it. In this case, I'm not positive. You know, there are other issues at play here, so you know I'm not going to jump on the Mets for this one. There are other reasons to jump on the Mets, but Alonzo should be called up just because I think he deserves to be called up. But you know there are some other issues at play.
Look,
here.
To me, it doesn't matter what the reason is. He should be here. That's the bottom line. This team's going nowhere. They need to.
He's performed. He's got an OPS of 950. That's pretty darn good, even in Las Vegas, where you and I could probably have an OPS of 800. It's still pretty darn good, and he deserves it. So, yes.
That's the bottom line. I just want to see him here. I don't even care what the reason is. We're talking to John Heyman, or what the reason they're not keeping him in here is. We're talking to John Heyman. I have an idea about this, because I think this is only getting worse, this whole service time issue, especially when good teams, big market teams, like the Chicago Cubs, say, we're not calling a guy up, or even the Yankees may hesitate on Gleyber Torres. And tell me if this is a bad idea and maybe there's holes all over it, because I think they have to fix this. I think the players and the owners in the new CBA have to fix this. Can we start the clock at some point in the minor leagues so there really isn't any difference if they're in the majors or not? And if anything, you'll want to call guys up sooner because, hey, the clock's ticking. You may as well get the most out of them now, the way teams feel about quarterbacks in the NFL. What I mean by that is if a quarterback who's drafted is going to be good, he's going to get paid, right? He's going to get paid a lot of money. Look at Aaron Rodgers. So there's almost a rush that teams have to try to win while they're not making that much money. Because once they're making a lot of money, you don't have that same ability to spend wildly at other positions. If you start the clock in the minor leagues, you may get a similar outcome in baseball where teams are, if anything, John, are in a rush to bring guys up because, hey, before you know it, arbitration and then free agency.
Yeah, I just think that's probably impractical.
Why?
You know, some guys take a year, some guys take 10 years, and it's legit. So
okay.
I don't know how you start the clock in the minor leagues.
I'll tell you how. John, I've thought this through. Okay.
Apparently, you really have given this a lot. You've given this more thought than any of the agents, I think.
Well, because I think it's a problem, and I think it's a big problem when big market teams that shouldn't care about this stuff, like the Chicago Cubs and maybe like the Yankees. I think that if a guy is drafted out of high school, versus a guy who's drafted out of college, the clock starts at a different pace. Same thing with international free agents based on age. I think if you do something like that, I know it's not perfect, but just a way to make it so that teams don't benefit from keeping this great talent in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think there's just too many issues that could come up. So what if somebody gets hurt, and then how does that affect his clock? And then teams might start to say, you know what, this guy's now hurt. His clock is about to start. We're going to release him. You know, there's just a lot of impracticalities that you're not really thinking of, even though you've put in a great deal of thought. And I really respect that. I just think it's more difficult than you or I think.
Well, I'm going to work on this.
You work on that, and you get a thesis going, and you might get a PhD at Columbia, I think.
Well,
if you can figure it out.
I don't really want that. I just want it to work because I want baseball to be as great as it can be. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I want.
It's
a beautiful thought. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. The St. Louis Cardinals. What a pain in the ass, John. I mean, geez. These guys can't just have a bad year and go away. And how
about they didn't make the playoffs the previous two seasons.
That's not enough, John.
It's not enough. I understand, and I think there are other people who agree with you. And, give them credit. They're incredible at drafting and developing. They've had some terrible free agent signings like the rest of the teams. Fowler, awful. I think they're probably fortunate. I mean, I like the guy. It's nice to say it. They're probably fortunate that he got hurt. You've got Harrison Bader there, who's really become quite a star, a revelation, really energized the entire team. A kid from Bronxville, not normally where you think a major league ball player is going to be from. Give him credit. I think his mother works at Sports Illustrated. The guy has been absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to tell you, I know this is important to you, his WAR very high.
Oh,
very high.
Geez. How about this manager? I want to be careful here.
Yeah.
Mike Schilt, who just got an extension.
Right.
And how could you not give him an extension? Because it's like this firing really sparked the team that the clubhouse needed.
It does seem like a firing can go one way or the other. And whether it's the firing, the Fowler injury, the trade of Pham, or any of the other ones that they traded, I don't think it's going to be the Chase and Treve acquisition. But they did do a few things. And, is a guy who did a good job in the minor leagues and had a rapport with Mozeliak. He picked him. The Cardinals are one team that's really develops managers at the minor league level. They got this guy, Stubby Clapp. Nice name.
I remember him.
He's been the PCL manager of the year, 2 years running. They really draft well. They develop well, and that includes managers. Not too many teams are developing managers. They just pick really smart guys who play at the major league level, like Aaron Boone, and I think we're going to see Eric Chavez be the Angels manager probably, and Michael Young's going to be a manager sometime. But I give the Cardinals credit. They're one team and probably the only team that's actually developing minor league managers. So fantastic job, and they develop pitchers. Some teams can't develop pitchers for anything, and they've developed them here. And I mean, Flaherty looks like a star. Weaver could be good. Obviously, they had Wainwright, Waka. They've done a fantastic job. Wainwright was a trade, but they developed him in the minors.
Yeah, that was J.D. Drew, if I'm not
mistaken.
That's correct.
Thank you.
So we all used to think it was Dave Duncan, but maybe it was more than that. As an organization as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Dave Duncan was really good, though. I'm not going to take it away.
Now, here's what I thought about when I saw that Schilt got that extension. And good for him. He deserves it. So, great for him.
Absolutely.
What's our boy going to do? What's Joe Girardi going to do now? I mean, is this guy going to get another managerial job? Because the Cardinals fell.
Well, he doesn't fit the mold. The mold is not making $4 million a year, right? So he's already making a lot. I think he's happy with his job at MLB Network. He is a colleague of mine there, so I had to throw that disclaimer in there. I don't think he's going to rush into any job that comes along. I started to hear rumblings that wasn't going to be the job for him. He had a connection with Mozeliak, even going back to Colorado. Mozeliak was there and came in as, I believe, a BP pitcher, some low-level type job. And Girardi was a player there with the Rockies, and then he finished his career with the Cardinals. So people made that connection, and I did early on, too. But, I wouldn't rule out. We'll see what happens. Obviously, Joe Maddon, there's no shot we think that he would get fired anytime soon. But, he's got 2 years to go. They didn't have not, next year, this year and next year, so a year to go. And they have not made a move to extend him to this point. We will see what happens there. That's a job that he would be interested in, I'm sure, being from Peoria, Northwestern, Cubs, all that. We will see. But I think there aren't that many teams that are going to want to pay his rate to manage. So, I think he could go on as an analyst for a while. There are going to be openings this year. I think Toronto will probably have an opening. Baltimore will probably have an opening. The Angels, as we referenced earlier, will probably have an opening. There are several others that are maybe in question. But And it's going to have to be the right spot for Joe Girardi to jump at. I don't think he's going to take anything.
I was looking back. I'm looking at it right now. I always write down my predictions in every sport just to see, hey, how am I doing? Am I doing all right?
You're doing fantastic. I don't even have to look. You're doing unbelievable. Had Oakland as a dark horse. You had the Dodgers struggling. And they may get in here, but they're going to slip in. They're not going to get the 95 wins. So you're doing fantastic.
Hey, you'll love this. My wild card game was Cardinals-Dodgers. I may get the
good.
Wild card and the Rockies winning the West. I may get it all.
Wow, you may. But there's many possibilities.
Yeah, we'll see.
Point.
But here's the ultimate, because my World Series pick, and I stand by it.
I'm not standing by my World Series pick, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, my World Series, and I'm going to get to yours in a second. My World Series pick, and I am standing by it, and I feel pretty good about it, even though the Indians are just a mess with some of the injuries they're dealing with. I had the Indians-Cubs rematch with the Indians winning this time. At least they're both going to be in the playoffs. Where
right.
are you right now with what you had and how you feel today a month before the postseason?
My pick is dead because I had the Astros, they're in it, and the Nats. The Nats are done. They've given up. So
okay.
that they're not winning. And that's pretty bad in the National League because there are about eight teams that still have a chance. I didn't have any of the eight teams. So that's a pretty bad position.
No way.
Wait a second.
Who did you have making the playoffs in the National League?
I'm just saying that I didn't have any of the eight teams winning the World Series that are currently in.
Oh, I got okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, what would you pick the
clarify.
Padres to win the West or something? What'd you do?
Yeah, no, I had to remember we had the debate. I had the Dodgers. You thought that they weren't going to be very good. I mean, yeah, I had the Cubs and I had the Nats.
Okay.
In terms of the wild card, I can't remember. I have to go back and look. But
so you got to write this stuff down. It's a lot of fun.
I need to write it down. Yeah,
I'll tell you, my awards were horrible. My awards were so I had Clayton Kershaw winning the Cy Young. What a dud that was.
I mean, he's pitched great, though.
Yeah, but he's not winning the Cy Young.
No,
award.
He's not winning.
I had Bryce winning the MVP. Forget that. I did have Acuna winning Rookie of the Year, so
that's
I nailed
a good
that one.
One. Acuna has been fantastic. I think he's got the best slugging percentage in the National League since the break, so that's a great pick. And NL Cy Young, yeah, you're not going to win that. It's going to be one of three people. And
Jake.
Yeah, I'm neutral, but I think at this point DeGrom deserves it.
Yeah.
At this point. Now, I know that the war figure somehow favors Nola.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I want you to take that war. I want you to blow it
well,
up.
Well, I didn't because I said DeGrom deserves it. At this
Thank
point,
you.
It's DeGrom, but we still have a month to go, and Scherzer or Nola could still win it.
No,
Nola,
of course they can.
I will say this for Nola.
Yeah.
He's pitching in a pennant race, so, you know, there's pressure. I mean, DeGrom puts pressure on himself.
The pressure on him is the fact his team doesn't score any runs for him. That's the pressure.
Right. And he's pitched unbelievably. I mean, incredibly. So, as I said, I favored DeGrom, but, you know, in Nola's favor, he's pitching in a little tougher park to pitch in. That's
right.
One. And the other thing, and I thought, well, that's accounted for in the ERA plus, and DeGrom still leads him. So, the other thing is their defense is, believe it or not, even worse than the Mets' defense. The Mets' defense is abysmal, absolutely one of the worst, but Philly's is off the charts bad. I mean, their defense is probably worse than Baltimore's. So, you have a team that picks up, and I love Asdrubal Carrera, great hitter, but you have a team that picks him up and occasionally he plays him at shortstop. You know, they're not putting any effort into the defense at all. You know, and they put Rhys Hoskins was fine at first base. They put him in left field. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Odubel Herrera, I mean, all the brain cramps that he has. That defense, I mean, it makes the Mets look like the 1970 Orioles.
Oh, jeez, let's not go too far with that. I mean, my God.
So I'm just saying Nola's got some handicaps.
Nola's got a shot.
Park. He's got terrible defense.
I agree.
You know,
hey, John,
he's been fantastic.
John,
I'm not sure exactly why his WAR is higher, because if you look at the numbers, you think DeGrom's would be higher. But, I mean, just looking at the total package of it, I mean, DeGrom has the lead. You know,
DeGrom
I know it's a three-man race, but I think if you say anybody other than DeGrom, you really, at this moment, you really haven't paid enough
DeGrom
attention.
DeGrom has the lead. But Aaron Nola could win this award.
I think Scherzer has less chance. He's third. I think he's running third.
I agree. I think he's falling behind Nola.
Despite the innings and the strikeouts, and yeah, those are nice things, but run prevention is the key. And, I mean, DeGrom, 1-6-8, terrible defense, even worse offense for him. They haven't done anything for him. I don't count the wins. I don't, you know, even if he was 0 and something, I wouldn't care. He's been the best pitcher in the league.
Yeah, I think that DeGrom has the lead. A couple of bad starts could kill him because I think why DeGrom has the lead is the ERA. I think the ERA is so ridiculous and so spectacular because right. All the other numbers are very close. The innings are very close. The whips are very close. Scherzer's ahead in strikeouts by a decent amount. The walks per nine, like everything is very close. The difference is that ERA. And DeGrom, to me, has to maintain a somewhat significant ERA lead for him to win the Cy Young. That's the way I look at it.
I think you're right. I think it will take a couple of bad starts, not just one bad start. It would take a couple to knock him below. Because I think his lead is obvious at this point. It's not huge, but it's clear that he is the leader. You got a 1.68 ERA. You pitch the way he's pitched. He does have strikeouts. He may not have as many as Scherzer, but the guy's been absolutely fantastic. I'm not saying he's better than Dwight Gooden in that Dwight Gooden's best year, but he's having an all-time great year.
I agree.
He is having an all-time great year. I just got a note from a Mets person. What? David Wright is heading to San Francisco to be with the team to continue his rehab under the watch of our training staff.
So he's not playing, though.
No.
He's going there just to hang out?
Deal. He's going to San Francisco with the team.
So he stayed in Vegas for 2 days, a day, and then he's done? Now he's going. How is he ever going to get back then? Doesn't he have to continue to play real baseball games? They still have a little bit more before the season ends.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the full explanation I have. I'm not sure what all that means.
I'll try to get more info.
I'm not sure that he's coming back this year. I don't know, as a player in the major league level. It didn't sound like they thought he was.
No. Well, they don't want to pay him. They want the insurance to pay him. They don't want to risk losing that. And by the way, I don't blame them for that.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
I don't blame them. Well, it isn't in terms of, if I'm not mistaken here, it would only be the prorated amount of money. So it's not the whole salary.
I don't have the policy in front of me, so I'm not sure. I can't imagine that they'd have to pay, the whole salary based on paying a few games, playing a few
games. But I don't blame the Mets for that. I mean, is David Wright a major leaguer right now? Probably not. So why do you want to pay him?
He's got to be a major leaguer. But if he's close, with the effort that he's put through, and if he's not hurting himself, I'd love to see him back. I really would.
Well, speak for yourself. Thank you, John.
What do you mean, speak for myself? David Wright?
I love David Wright. It has nothing to do with him. Here's how I treat David, all right? I laid this out the other day, and tell me if this is fair. I'd sit him down and say, David, we are so proud of you. You're working really hard. Because of where we are in this season, it doesn't make sense to bring you back now. But if you can come to spring training and you can prove you're healthy and you can show some versatility, you absolutely have a chance to make the roster. You can be a part of our roster in 2019, but it just doesn't make sense for you to be on this roster now. That's what I tell him.
You're a real businessman. I don't know. I'm thinking with my heart. I want to see David Wright back.
John, I have a heart too. I like David Wright. He's a lifelong Met. I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
That's all. You are very realistic.
I have to give you that.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later. Bye.
John Heyman on the baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.